Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Hello, everybody. As you know, we had a live show this week, so no new episode, but we are dropping the second part of that Montauk episode from All Documented, All True, our Patreon-only show. We promised a big announcement on our live show. We did not deliver. That announcement will be on our next episode on Tuesday, so make sure you tune in. We do have some great news for y'all about the show and the future of the show. So tune into that, because of that, we may have to hold off on releasing ADAT on the main feed for a while. Unsure. We got to take a look at this, but it will still remain on Patreon. But we were able to squeeze in this last week. We're going to do, this is the Montauk episode, the second half of that. So enjoy this and tune in for the next episode. Where we're doing the last two episodes of, or last two movies in the Hellraiser franchise, as well as the remake. I'm rambling. I don't know if I've covered everything. I just recorded this like six times, and every time I think I've overstated what I'm trying to do here, which is just to say, enjoy the second half of the Montauk Project episode, because it is a hoot. And if you haven't heard the first part, it is on our main feed, so check that out before you listen to this. So here we go. Let's go back with Mike and Joe and finish up this talk about jerk-off sessions and aliens and other things. So enjoy, I think.
So, Joe, I'll let you take this next part.
Dr. Von Neumann, the most diabolical, sounding name of all time.
It's like the German version of Neumann from Seinfeld. Von Neumann.
So in 1958, Dr. Von Neumann died of cancer. Now, we talked about him earlier, right? When we mentioned the Manhattan Project.
Mathematician, yeah.
All right, yeah, I thought we mentioned him. So again, he's a legit person, and he was active on the Manhattan Project. He died of cancer, but he supposedly, this story has it all. The story has it fucking all.
I know.
he died of cancer, but he supposedly faked his death so that he could go work secretly on special projects. Preston Nichols figured this out. Some fucking Preston. And he found him. He found him to question him what Montauk had to do to jerk him off. Dude, imagine.
Von Neumann at this point would be like in his like 90s, probably.
Dude.
His dick would just turn to dust.
I picture him like that guy from Breaking Bad with the ding ding, you know, just in the wheelchair with ding
ding. Hector Preston grilling him.
Yeah. Hector. Just grilling this guy, but he's nonverbal, so he's just dinging and Preston's just repeatedly jerking him off and screaming about making the
that Hector face as his dick is being yanked about.
Do you want me to jerk you off?
Yes.
the guy can't walk and
one for faster and two for slower.
The guy can't talk, and Preston just screaming like, "Oh, I'm playing hard to get, huh? I'll have to jerk you off again, huh?"
You're really stuck in the fucking shade zone.
Anyway, Preston claims that he figured out Von Neumann. It's either that or he just found some fucking
old guy was like,
yeah, yeah. You're Dr. Newman. I'm going to jerk you off to death.
I'll give you a hand job if you tell me you're this guy.
Again, Preston had his mind fucking destroyed by drugs. So that's also a very plausible explanation.
Yeah, just like electrocuting like
multiple people off in
just goes into nursing homes and just screams at people being Dr. Von Neumann while trying to jerk him off.
Probably a parasite from all the old fucking rotten cans of spam he was eating too.
According to Preston, he claims that he found Dr. Von Neumann and wanted to question him about these experiments. Dr. Von Neumann said that after the ship reappeared, it killed most of the people on board because one of the ship's power generators broke during the experiment. He said that if somebody could go back, they could fix it and nobody would die. So Al Bielek and Duncan Cameron reluctantly decide to go back.
Wait, is Al Bielek a different guy, or is it that fucking guy, or did that guy go into Al Bielek?
Well, Al Bielek claims that he's Duncan Cameron's brother, right?
Yeah.
Right.
So right. I think if anything back from like 1943, if you hear Edward Cameron, that's Al Bielek, but he's in Edward Cameron's body, but he doesn't know that he's an Albiolic yet.
Makes sense. Makes total sense. It's all documented and all true. I just want to tell the listeners at this point, the Montauk had an underground base and kids were fucking experimented on. And then this everything that we're saying now is a result. Our brains being fried, the kids' brains being fried, and your brains being fried from listening to this is a result of the Montauk projects. So the CIA continues to win. But Al Bielek is Duncan Cameron's brother, but he still goes by Al Bielek, and he also knows Duncan Cameron. Why wouldn't you just go back to whatever? But they reluctantly decided to go back. Duncan sits in the Montauk chair. He gets jacked off by Preston, of course.
Al in the corner watching, most likely. Unless Preston, he's double fisting it. About double pump that's going on here with
the double pump's not serious, but Duncan, according to all of them, Duncan sat in the Montauk chair and Preston, again, according to all of them, Preston jerked him off so hard that he opened a vortex to 1943 aboard the Eldridge.
It sounds so much better when it's said out loud. Freaking throw up. He literally jerked him off into oblivion.
Dude, getting jerked off so hard, you open a portal to another world. Holy shit.
If Preston is that good at giving hand jobs, then I probably would expect.
Yeah, you gotta take like, it. You gotta.
It's that good of a hand job that you'll open up a vortex to another fucking time. I mean,
first of all,
he should stop with his bullshit of writing books and open up a fucking massage parlor. He would be raking it in.
I want this version of Stranger Things, first of all. This better be how the fucking show
is. Just Paul Reiser jerking off dudes for the last episode.
Dude, like the fucking
Paul Reiser and Matthew Modine just tugging each other off every episode.
It's still happening. Like he's jerked off multiple people in this story. That's so fucking wild.
Anyways, they all claim he opened the vortex in 1943 aboard this ship. They stepped through the vortex.
Wait, and they how did all these guys like find each other outside of the project?
Well, from what I was told, I could be wrong on the dates. I didn't write it down, but I believe that in like 1988, Preston, Duncan, and Al all attended a like parapsychology conference, and that's where they all met.
Oh, that's so crazy.
Listen,
a lot of the timelines I'm not
breaking kayfabe. They were fucking, their minds were erased, and they were still in close contact with each other, and they pieced it together.
But it's weird because if you listen to Preston, he constantly claims that prior to 1990, he had no knowledge about any of this. But then in other things, he's like, oh, yeah, back in 1988, we figured out who we really were. And
Preston's bullshit. I told you I wasn't going to break kayfabe, but I can only take so much. But they went through the vortex and they fixed the generator, but Al decides, hey, I'm staying in 1943. This is where I fucking belong. And when Duncan returned, he was super old and dying of old age. Because dude, imagine being Preston, just living this life. Like not even having this really happen, just having to tell people this story over and over. fucking eat me inside. But because Duncan was important, the government used their tech to send a message to Duncan's dad. I didn't want to read this part.
It's Captain America's fucking like old Captain America.
It is. But they send a message. It would be like sending a message to Captain America's dad and say, hey, it's back to the future. It's back to the fucking future. Because they send a message to his dad and they say, you gotta get your fucking socks off here with your lady. I gotta knock some boots and you gotta get her pregnant and have a baby boy so you can have Duncan Jr.
But, which he achieved in 1951.
And then Montauk used this kid as a vessel for old man Duncan's electric magnetic signature to ensure the continuity of the timeline without any issues. If that sounds confusing, it's not. Open your fucking mind. Old man Duncan travel time came back as an old man. That's going to fuck up
paradox happening
continuum. So you got to use the time machine to go back while old man Duncan's in the present and talk to old man Duncan's dad before old man Duncan was even born to be like, hey, this is going to sound weird. We have your son. He's very old and things are going to get really weird. If you
have the son that you haven't even had,
knock her up and have another son and also name him Duncan Jr.
So well, that he didn't have a son at that point though. He only had a daughter.
Yeah, but they would be telling him, we have your son right now because we're in the future. Yeah. And if you don't fucking have another son to replace your current son who's traveled into the future, everything's going to shit. And Duncan's dad, like any good American would do, said, of course, I'm going to go lay pipe to my wife and I will have a son. And I'll name him Duncan Jr. based on this contact. I don't know how they contacted him.
And that's the Duncan in this story.
This is the most realistic time travel story I've ever heard. And quite frankly, Back to the Future owes a lot to old Preston, even though Preston didn't start talking about this until 5 years after Back to the Future came out. But he does claim that Doc Brown was based on him,
which seems to be a trend.
But Preston can fucking jerk off in time travel. So you know what? It works out. So Duncan's dad saved the world by plowing his wife and knocking her up. Where was I? I went on a tangent
there. Using age regression.
Age regression. Oh, good. We got this part. Using age regression, they put Edward Cameron's consciousness into the body of little Al. The little Al. Preston says that he felt all these time jumps as well as other terrible things going on were going to ruin things for everyone, and he decided he needed to end the Montauk project once and for all with a failsafe that he had in place with Duncan and the others. So on August 12th, 1983, he puts Duncan into the chair, shockingly jerks him off, and gently whispers in his ear as he's stroking him, the time is now. Duncan thought of a massive werewolf like Duncan thought of a massive werewolf like beast that appeared on the outer grounds of the facility and started destroying everything and everyone in its path, so that the main power generator was ordered to be shut down, but it had no effect.
According to Preston, the beast was anywhere between 9 feet tall and 30 feet tall. Now you might be asking, is there proof? And there is proof. Preston drew a sketch of it in his book, and it kind of resembles Man Bear Pig from South Park.
of course, jerking off Duncan and creating a interdimensional werewolf-like being couldn't be stopped by anyone other than Preston, who had to go to the main control room and start tearing out the wires with his bare hands. But still, nothing would shut off the main generator, so he went and got a blowtorch, went to the main transmitter, and after a while, he took the torch to the transmitter itself, and the vortex, along with the beast, vanished into thin air, back to the dimension they came from.
Thank goodness.
Yes, that's actually a little anticlimactic. But of course, Preston is
like
the hero.
All of our stories have such anticlimactic like endings, like the exorcism,
which means they're fucking real.
Like it goes this crazy up to this point, and then you get to the end, they're like, and we'll send it right there.
And then we just stop talking about it.
If Preston was making it up, he would make himself the hero of this story, and he would defeat the thing with his bare hands by ripping out wires of the transmitter and sending the beast back to where it came from.
Yeah.
Which is exactly what he said, so it's all bullshit. But anyway, Preston says that that's what happened. I just kind of want to circle back for a second, and this is all disinformation by the CIA. The Montauk experiments were the CIA doing terrible things to innocent children, trying to push them to the brinks of human capabilities. And, you know, things are starting to get out that they were doing these terrible things. So they have fucking Preston start talking about jerking off guys and traveling to 1943 and 2497 and werewolves and interdimensional beings. It's a classic disinformation campaign.
Interdimensional.
Who's going to believe anything about Montauk after this?
Yeah. No, yeah, for sure, right? And I don't, yeah, and like, I think this is what you mean, but like, basically what they're doing is just not stopping these guys, I think, right? Like, I think they're like, let's let them do their fucking thing. Like, usually they just stop them from talking, but like, when they need disinformation, they're like, fucking go to the press.
They are only stopping people if they're like, hey, I have this document in my hand that is going to prove to you that these things and these people are involved. Once Preston starts talking about jerking off Duncan and Duncan's dad getting a call from the future and fucking his wife to have another Duncan to prevent a time collapse, yeah, keep talking, Preston, because nobody's going to believe a fucking word that you're saying. And yeah, we're clear. You've discredited the entire Montauk Project, which all this is important to talk about because I think that is exactly what is happening. I do think that they were trying and maybe even successfully creating super soldiers and Manchurian candidates and even experimenting with space-time travel. But all we have to go off of is Preston's and Al's. Al, formerly known as Duncan's brother, fucking the best.
Let's just get this guy that keeps jerking people off to fucking go to the press.
Dude, that's like the most ideal situation for anybody. Dude, imagine somebody had dirt on you. Like, I'm going to fucking spill. Like just us as like low-life horror shows.
Yeah.
Like, I have this like terrible secret on you, and I'm going to go to the press, but I'm also going to talk about how I jerk everyone off while I found out this information. But okay, please. I'm not getting my lawyers involved.
I mean, all of his claims are so outrageous that the jacking off part is like the least shocking of it all.
Oh yeah. I mean, that's the only part I believe. He's fucking jerking people off left and right. By 1990, both Duncan and Preston had full access to their memories of both the Philly Project and the Montauk Project. And that is from 1990 on is where we're getting all our information from these gentlemen. Now, I don't want to forget about Stuart. Stuart talked about this too. And I'm just going to keep hammering because I think it's important to talk that children were abducted and abused. It is a fact.
Stop bringing that up when we're laughing. We're having a good time. And you're like, hey, I just want to remind everyone.
That's just terrible. All right, Mike, go into the claims for me.
All right. So in the mid-2010s, a man came forward using the name James Bruce, claiming he was actually a former Montauk boy and described one of the experiments involving large amounts of acid in order to read other Montauk boys' thoughts in what he called was a area called the Acid House, which was a room that they'd be put in and then given large doses of acid. and said he also saw Timothy Leary there.
Now, I know you'll talk in more detail about his son, Timothy Leary's son, being like, my dad wouldn't be doing that. Timothy Leary 100% developed acid in its like purest form and was contacted by the government, and whether intentionally or not, had a very big hand in MK Ultra.
Yeah. I mean, I don't think from everything I've read and like seen about Leary, he doesn't come across as someone that had like nefarious intentions. He just was more about opening people's minds. So I also don't think like he, if the government approached like, hey, we're going to go abduct kids and do mind controlled LSD, he'd be like, get the fuck off my property. But that doesn't mean they didn't like take some notes from him and be like, well, he's doing this. They use this as like a compound and blah, 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 blah.
Do you know how easy it would have been to manipulate him by being like, we want acid, and then just like give him the hippie talk he wants to hear? Like, so we can open our
mind and cover his fucking deadheads and stuff.
And he'd be like, here's the recipe.
Dude, he was definitely at the acid house tripping balls, and the government's bringing people in and being like, these people volunteered, which there's a prison. I forget the fucking name of it, but at the around the same time, there's a book, Holmesburg Prison. You're about to talk about it in here.
Yeah, right? Well, I'm going to get to it in like a second.
Let's just talk about that. Holmesburg Prison, it's like the same guys. They went to the prisoners and they were like, hey, we want to try this like new soap on you.
And it was pretty much between around the Cold War, between 1963 and 1972, the Holmesburg Prison actually did like real human medical experiments on prisoners. Right. And some of them were dermatology experiments where they would actually apply parts of Agent Orange. Yeah, to the faces of inmates to see the type of reactions that would happen. And they'd also use LSD to try to create Manchurian candidate type people.
And they would, this is real. And they would,
but that's factual. There's like interviews of survivors and they talk about how they would take some of the, they get back to their cell and after they have the stuff put on their face, it would burn so bad. They could actually rub some of the oil off, put it on, like wipe it on a wall and it would eat away at like the paint and the wallpaper. Like that's how strong this shit was.
Oh my God.
Just because the prisoners want, or the prison officials and the government wanted to see the effects that these harmful chemicals would have on human beings.
And
I mean, they also used to, didn't they used to crop dust fields with like Agent Orange too on like unsuspecting public to see the results of it or something like that?
And there's instances of like unleashing pathogens in subways to see how fast they would spread and how sick people would get. So this isn't out of like the government's.
There was a, I don't know the name of the guy or the cult, but there, I believe in the 90s, there was a Chinese type cult that had one of these like deadly agents and they set it off in a subway and it affected like 200 people and a bunch of people died. And
it was a Japanese cult and they were so fucking powerful. It is honestly terrifying. I know exactly what you're talking about. Dude, they were building an atomic bomb and working with China. This cult, it was like fucking nerds who were just really into like anime and stuff, anime and like Star Wars, 100%. Like losers. And this guy would like, he would just drug all his cult members with LSD and he became more and more powerful. And he would say he was like the second coming of Jesus and he wanted to destroy America, which fun fact, he sent everybody to Florida, much like the 9/11 pilots to train and like, get trained in like gun combat and then went back to Japan. But then they also worked with the Yakuza and the Russians in China, and they were developing dirty bombs, and they were getting enough plutonium shipped to this little cult that they were able to start building a legitimate atomic bomb. And they were getting this biological weapon that they were releasing in Japan, and it was actually killing people, and they were letting it go. It's really wild. We should do an episode on that.
Yeah, 100%.
But anyway, we're saying all this just to prove the point that the shit happens, and there's stuff out there that we only know a little bit about. What, imagine what we don't know. Right. And we brought up that prison because it was like a MK Ultra light. They used LSE to manipulate them, and you know, they lied to them. They're like, we're going to try this new soap on you. And the new soap was just terrible biological warfare. And they were studying the effects on it.
Jesus Christ.
Another guy came forward named Brian Minnick, and he actually was able to supply a bunch of photos and videos he took with his friends in the early 90s when they broke into Montauk. And on one of the videos, they show food receipts totaling almost over $80,000 a month for the facility. And this was in 1980, which was a year prior to the base shutting down. Like, what base would require $80,000 worth of food a month? Like, if they weren't having mass amounts of people that were living in the facility.
There's not that many people there, I'm sure.
Yeah, especially right before the base supposedly shut down, they're still getting that type of food sent. Now, one of the most credible things he actually had was he was able to take pictures inside the so-called acid house. And the weird thing about it was all the walls were spray painted, but the way they were spray painted was it'd be like spray paint all over the walls, but then there'd be lighting fixtures or electrical sockets that are newer or were newer placed over it. So there'd be no spray paint on that. There'd be no spray paint on the ceiling, almost like someone taped up the ceiling to make it so there'd be a clean edge. So it was actually professionally done. So it's not like someone broke into this house and just spray painted. Like, someone came in, and then they also had an ex CIA agent being investigated or interviewed. And he's like, no, these are similar patterns like they used to use in MK Ultra, where they put someone in a room and dose them with acid to see how they would react.
It's fucking weird.
Yeah. And then towards the end of the video, the kids, I guess, got discovered, and you see they're hiding up on the roof, and all of these black SUVs come in and start circling the base, even though they don't find the kids. And they also have video of this black helicopter that would also show up near the facility, and it would just fuck with any boat or any person that would get close. Like, you can see videos of this helicopter maybe 20 feet above a boat, chasing it away from the Montauk area. And this is all after the facility shut down, when it's supposedly abandoned and decommissioned. According to official reports, there's absolutely no underground tunnels, but the video also shows large padlocks covering up doors that lead into a basement type area. And they also did a scan around the base a couple of years back, which show very large metal structures underground the ground. So clearly there's something there, but according to officials, there's nothing under the base, which is kind of fucking weird.
Yeah.
Yes.
And more famously, in 2008, a strange creature washed ashore known as the Montauk Monster. I believe it was in New York, and across from Montauk is actually Plum Island, which is rumored to be an island for animal experimentation, including human-animal hybrids.
Yes, and there are people who, we really just focus on the main people we get the sources from, but the conspiracy theories about Montauk is that there are interdimensional beasts and, island of Dr. Moreau type experimentation on people and animals happening. And this monster washed up, and I think, what was the official explanation? It was a waterlogged raccoon.
It kind of looks like a waterlogged raccoon a bit, but it's still very weird looking. But I don't think anyone officially knew what it was. Another one showed up a couple years later, actually, in the same spot, but I don't know if that one got as much recognition as the first one, because people were just kind of we've already seen this shit.
I mean, that's the best thing about the American interest. It's once you've seen it once, easy to just get away with it.
Not even that, but think about it. In the middle of the height of COVID is when the government came out and they're aliens and UFOs exist. And everyone's whatever. No one gave a shit when it came out. Completely swept under the rug because people were so obsessed with the whole COVID thing. So,
doubts. So doubts, there's lots of doubts, of course. Yes, yeah. Sean.
No, I was just going to say yes.
So a man interviewed Preston.
We already covered this part in the beginning.
Oh, about the farting and all that.
And his house and the Frank Yul Brynner.
Okay. In 2014, the director of the film, the documentary film, The Montauk Chronicles, interviewed Preston and said that Preston was a nice guy. But, of course, he suggested that the filmmaker and his crew got naked and lied on the bed so that Preston could properly deprogram them, which, of course, means give them all handies. Preston is committed to the cause.
Well, simultaneously saying that he hated that part. He's like, I didn't enjoy stimulating people. It wasn't fun for me. Yeah,
but dude, Preston claims this is a necessity, not something he enjoyed.
Fucking addiction.
Preston has a group of followers who think they are programmed, and some of them wear metal pots on their heads to prevent microwave signals from brainwashing them. Preston said that he graduated with a degree from the University of Tampa, but there is no record of Preston ever attending the University of Tampa. He also stated in his office in Montauk that he shared it with a lizard man named Your Highness Draco. Preston, he gets a little more loopy as time goes on. All the diagrams in Preston's book were proved not to really be accurate at all, according to actual engineers. Timothy Leary's son said that in no way would his dad ever be part of a government project. Like we said, I think Timothy Leary was definitely present at some of these things, but under innocent, you know, pretenses. Preston, we already talked about his music industry, his Star Wars, his claim that Doc Brown was, you know, Preston's not credible. I can just paraphrase that. Preston's not credible. Behind Preston's house, he had a short old school bus as well as a lab, which he called Space Age Laboratories, where he deprograms people who needs his help. Which, again, he's just jerking off people in a bus that he drove into his backyard.
What? Space Age Laboratories?
Yeah, Space Age Laboratories. Or as he pronounced it, laboratories, but fucking break.
And since he didn't get the actual Montauk chair, he made a Montauk chair, which he put into the Space Age Laboratory so he could jerk people off, but he's not opening vortexes. So, you know, the real Montauk chair is the piece to all of this. Claims sometimes 25 to 30 guys a week would get deprogrammed.
And they all live together.
Forearms must have been like Popeye, man.
They all live together in a house close by, and they'd come by, and Preston would deprogram them, just running fucking trains on these guys' dicks with his hands.
Fucking insane. This is the most insane shit.
And also, it was said that once the guys would come out of the Montauk chair, they would all visibly look very confused, upset, and Preston would come out with like his shirt a little bit unbuttoned and just sweating uncontrollably.
Yeah, of course.
Now, would you? So I know Joe's has already asked about would you do it, but like, would you do it just because there was a guy on your street jerking people off constantly, like to go experience?
I mean, it depends. I mean, some people go and get paid to have that done.
If you saw 30 guys just constantly coming in and out a day or whatever the fuck a week, you'd be like, I think I just gotta fucking see.
I don't feel that I would.
I would love to see what his Yelp reviews are.
Yeah.
Now, I asked if you would get naked if you jerked off. Would you get naked if you were jerking someone off?
Would you get naked if you're doing the jerking?
No.
Or getting?
No. If you're tugging, if you're Preston, are you taking your
kind jerk? Of like a visual aid for the person to get them in the mood? I mean, I would imagine Preston probably would, considering all the shirts are Preston covered in fucking spam and like jizz, probably.
How? I would have to wear like a smock.
Oh, okay.
And then that just made me think about any significant other that has to jerk somebody off. That sounds terrible.
I'm picturing Preston almost dressing up like Preston dressing up like Marlon Brando in Island of Dr. Moreau with like an ice bucket on his head to like cool him off, his face painted white and just draped in like mosquito netting. just jacking dudes left and right.
Burger King office so much
fucking in a hot, sweaty little
sweating.
I'm not a fan of hand jobs anyway. I mean, unless you're doing it yourself, but aside from that, the fuck out of here.
I like that Mike wrote Al Bielek's story is somewhat inconsistent. And when he's asked certain questions, he can't answer them. He has no knowledge of the Philly experiment. He had no knowledge of the Philly experiment until he saw the movie in 1984.
Should also be noted that there is zero record of Duncan or Edward Cameron ever existing in any form of military service. And there is definitely not any records of any brothers serving in the military with those
names. Yeah, now, I mean,
aboard any ship. But it was not apparently a secret government mission. So, I mean, yeah, it wouldn't be so listed.
Listen, I'll play devil's advocate here. That guy, why can't I think of his name? The guy that's always talking about UFOs, Lou Elizondo. For years, this guy would talk about things that he knows and things that he's seen. And for years, there was no record of him ever working in the military. And people would always point that out to him. And then eventually declassified documents did show that he was involved in the military. He was in a secret program and a secret division that the public was unaware of. So it's not the most unheard of thing that there's no record of these two. Just to play devil's advocate.
Give away those fucking records. Even the college. Why would you even? Of course they're going to say you didn't fucking go there.
Dude, University of Tampa, are you kidding me? Somebody probably called that dean and was like, hey, this guy's giving everybody hand jobs and talking about his credentials from your college. We need to stop this. And they're like, of course. Yeah, we're burning his file immediately.
Yeah.
He never went here. So, yeah, that, just to play devil's advocate, not saying I believe them. It's not the most unbelievable part of the story. No. I'll say that. Stuart Swerdlow, fucking guy, says that he could speak 10 languages, which nobody has ever heard him speak. He says that he is a descendant from Atlantis. I mean, he was present at these things. Let's go easy on our boy Stuart, because he was drugged to fucking oblivion. So, you know what? These claims, they add up with somebody who's been destroyed by LSD.
Sure.
Al Bielek died in Fort Myers, Florida on August 29th, 2007, and Preston Nichols died October 5th, 2018. So their fantastical stories have died with them. Stuart's still alive. But yeah, that's what we have for the Montauk Project. Thoughts, Sean?
The jerking off stuff was like unreal. Like, I'm gonna be honest. Like, I honestly,
very real.
When I first started joking about it in that first break, when I was joking about it, I assumed that was going to be the end. How could it go any more? Like, he had already jerked off two people in this story. Like, there's no way he's going to jerk off three.
If four. You lived in Montauk between the years of 1971 and 1990, you were probably jerked off by Preston.
If you lived in Montauk between those years, contact us, please. Or if you know anybody that might have lived in Montauk, have them contact me or Mike.
Or if you were jerked off by Preston Nichols, please contact
me. Dude, if you or any of your loved ones have been jerked off by Preston Nichols, please
find me. Mike Amato, 30 at Instagram, send me all the details, what Preston's wearing, what he smelled like. I want to hear it all.
If you don't want, I'm being desperate. If there's anybody out there that might listen to this that has gotten a hand job from Preston, we won't use your government name. We will protect you at all costs. Everything will be confidential. We want to hear your story. We want to share it. We'll change names. Even if you want to lie and tell us one, I'll accept that too. Because I just want to hear.
Did he play music in the background to like get you in the mood? Like,
was he shirtless?
Got to know everything. If you have video,
please. What kind of lube did he use, or was it just dry? Was it just
Where was the landing?
Probably just use spit.
Just spit
in his hand and just
spam.
Where was the landing? Where was the landing point?
probably on his chest or on his tits. I'm part.
Well, you can't open a vortex. You can't open a vortex.
Being that it's Preston Nichols, I would imagine he'd have some sort of cylinder device, and he would just be catching cum in it, using it to power up some sort of fucking antenna that drives his laboratory.
He never talks about bringing guys to climax. He's just talking about getting them into their most enlightened and heightened state.
Yeah, so, but how enlightened are you going to be if every time you go to go into a trance, someone leaves you with fucking he's like blue balling
all these guys?
There's no way he was blue balling people. You'd be so frustrated, and like your mind would just be in a complete frazzled state. You'd be like, "What the fuck is this shit?"
If I'm getting jerked off
right away,
if I'm getting jerked off by a fat man and a fucking vortex opens, I'm okay with the blue balls. I'm okay with it. First of all, I forget about it.
If the vortex is going to open, it's going to open at the second cum leaps out of
you.
Orgasm.
I believe that might be the only time anyone orgasmed. They came so hard, it just ripped through space.
I'm imagining the jizz flying out of the dick and just magically tearing a hole in like space-time, like in the wall. But there's no way Duncan's gonna be going back for seconds if every time he's getting fucking blue balls. Like, he's definitely finishing.
I don't know, dude. I think that might make him come back for more. I'd be like, dude, I was so fucking close. So yeah.
He's just ending. Preston's the master.
So Sean, Montauk. Are we in agreement that there is a base there and that there was likely mind control experiments being
there? Was a base, there was experiments, there was acid or LSD, or is that the same shit?
Same. It's the same. Yep.
Clearly there was no black lights, otherwise no one would get in that Montauk chair.
All of that is real.
Yes, agreed.
I think they damaged these adult, well, as children, they damaged these men to a point that they were just like a mess. And then somehow linked up with each other and like we're doing this shit together. And it's like, I don't know. I think that's real.
Was it chance that they linked up, or was it planned by the government? Like, let's link these guys together. Maybe somebody else was talking about it and being like, let's get these. Whose brain did we fry the worst? Who's in the worst shape? And they look at the guy living in a shack and be like, this guy, and the guy who thinks he had a brother,
and the guy who's jerking everyone off in town. Like, yeah, I kind of think that. I guess I could kind of go that way, but I also think, I mean, based on some of their stories, it sounded like they were working there, maybe.
Yeah,
it does. So, like, meeting that way, I guess. Maybe they were
all employed. Yeah, I think they might have been. Yeah, okay, I'm going to go with that one. Because they did say that they're all employed, but they seem to have no recollection of it until they...
Right. So somebody jerks them off, and then
they were living two different lives, and then they were able to merge the two back into one and figure out what was going on.
We mentioned Mario. That's honestly not the most insane theory. It's not the most insane theory that they were just so fried that finally they snapped out of it. Be like, wait a second. Whoa, you work here too, dude?
Preston went back in time and put his mind or consciousness into Mario.
It wasn't until they hung out outside of work that they were finally just like, whoa, you're on my floor, man.
I don't know, man. I'm thinking, I don't know. I think what are the big questions here? Cause like, I think I'm,
did Dr. Van Neumann fake his death to work on secret experiments? Yeah, fuck yeah. Fuck yeah,
he did. 100%.
Sure.
Dude, fuck yeah, he did.
I do not believe Stewart, though.
Dude, going to shoot at Jesus and traveling to Mars?
I have a theory about Stewart, which... All right, so...
That's just the acid.
But there's also another aspect to it also, because... There's a movie that came out in like early 2000s with Joseph Gordon-Levitt where one of the characters in it thinks like they were abducted by aliens and were involved in this like crazy like program. But it turns out what actually happened was he ended up just getting a handy from his baseball coach. And it was such a traumatic event that his mind came up with this completely like fabricated story that he thought was true. So I think it might have been like kind of similar to Stuart. Like he ran into Preston. Preston just jerked him off into oblivion. And it was so traumatic for him that he just concocted this whole fucking story.
I like,
or maybe theory, like, or maybe Stuart Preston fed it to him.
No, Stuart was definitely, he was part of Montauk.
Yeah, well, he was one of the Montauk boys. He didn't actually like, work for him, but he was freelance jerky, I guess.
Stuart was one of the kids I was experimenting on. So I don't think he needs to run in. I don't think he needs to have a hand job from Preston to do this. But I do like your theory that he's.
Well, it didn't start with that. It started off with the alien fist, and then it led to the
hand. No, I'm aware.
Would you think he'd start off with the hand job first and then move to the fist? But I mean.
No,
I don't know.
We're saying the same thing, but you're jumping to Preston. I don't think Preston had to be involved for Stuart to come up with the story. What was the name of the Joseph Gordon-Levitt movie?
Mysterious Skin.
I don't think I saw that, but
it's really good. But it's a fucked up movie. It was made
for us to come to terms with the fucking Montauk project in case four people start talking about it.
I mean,
So Stuart, you don't believe, Sean. Thoughts on time traveling to have Marty McFly's dad fuck and make another Marty McFly?
I mean, no, that didn't happen.
Are you sure it didn't happen? Can you prove it?
Yeah, no, that one for sure is a no for me, but that's fine. It's just the acid. It's just the fucking acid, and that's okay. But he didn't.
I mean, you know, kudos, because that is the most thorough, like, covering your tracks of any story. Like, people are just going to be like, travel through time, and that's it, right? And they're going to be questioned, like, well, why didn't anything change? Nobody's going to. Who thinks of that? Well, it didn't change because we called my dad when he was just a young lad and had him fuck my mom and make another me. And it worked. And when the other me filled the void of the butterfly effect. That's good for them. Good for fucking them.
So I take it you might believe that.
Oh, that happened.
That's fact.
If they weren't sitting in the original Montauk chair, I wouldn't believe it. But yeah, they were sitting in the original. That was part of the Philadelphia experiment.
Yes, that's true.
I can't wait to be done with this episode. My fucking brain is melting.
Oh my God. So yeah, okay. And then what else? What other key moments are there to discuss on this? Overall, it's real.
Well, I mean, it's...
I mean, something happened.
Some parts are far-fetched, but it's also like a bunch of different factual programs and secret operations that went on. It seems like a lot of them are just kind of pulled and morphed into this one just like elaborate story.
Yeah.
So, I mean, there are definitely aspects of it that are 100% real. I don't know if they happened at Montauk, but they definitely happened.
I believe they happened at Montauk. I believe the attempts of mind control happened at Montauk. I believe that the people disappearing were brought to underground layers in Montauk. And all of this, much like most things we talk about, is all traced back to the fact that we let Nazis into our fucking country post-World War II and let them... No, I'm serious. Like, I'm not even making a joke. Like, I know. That's a fucking problem. That's a fucking problem. Who okayed that? These people were doing terrible things. That was why we went to war. Like, they were doing terrible, terrible things. Like, we know this. They were committing atrocities upon their own people. And then we were like, hey, listen, we're going to bring
you over. We like your style. We want to bring you over here.
Just kind of keep doing what you're doing, and it'll be okay. Like, just trust me. And they did. And that's a fucking problem.
It was also said that the entire Montauk project was actually funded by Nazi gold as well.
I'm sure.
And that's how they had like unlimited funds for it.
I'm sure a lot of
I definitely believe that Stuart killed Jesus and was Judas in another life and then went to Mars. That part is, there's no
rock not solid.
Sneaking a gun back to the unbelievable. Anyway, that is the Montauk Project. Some of that is true, maybe all of it. It's all documented, so it has to be.
I can't argue with that logic.
Therefore, it is true. Therefore, it is true. That was a fun episode, man. That was fucking weird.
Yeah. These are the kinds that I love that are, you know, based in fact, but so ridiculous that you kind of want to believe it, but you were raised right, so you can't. But they're fun.
Yeah, this has definitely been one of my favorite ones for a while. I've always loved the Montauk story. I didn't realize how insane it got. Like, I knew the basics of it, but I didn't realize there were so many hand jobs.
When you read the first thing about hand jobs, like, were you like, wait,
what? Oh, I heard it through interviews, like actual interviews of people talking. Did you have to,
like, rewind it and be like, wait, this guy talking about jerking somebody off?
Well, I was kind of distracted because when they were interviewing Preston, one of the interviewers like actually brought it up, but it was so hard to take him serious because this was at like the peak when he had like his little cult going on of the cooking pot wearing freaks that were roaming around his property. But he's like plopped up on this chair and he's almost dressed like Michael Jackson. Like, he's got the Thriller jacket on. He's got black sunglasses on and like a black glove. But he also weighs like 500 fucking pounds. Like,
what is this guy's name? Which one is this?
Preston Nichols.
Preston Nichols. Okay.
I will say the director of the Montauk Chronicles documentary has said on multiple interviews that, much like us, he heard this story and was like, this is complete lunacy. I want to like interview everybody involved in this because it's so insane. And he went there being like, these guys are fucking sci-fi nerds and out of their minds. But then when he went to the actual Montauk base and started digging around there, he was like, there's something really weird going on here. So
also, when he was younger, like you were saying, like he kept hearing stories, but he also recounted this one time where he was at like Montauk Beach or whatever with his dad, and he started walking down shore. I think he was like 7 or 8, and he said he saw these large, almost metal balls coming out of like the sand area. And as he got closer to him, a bunch of guys dressed in like black military came out and chased him and his dad away from that section of the beach. And then after that, he said he kind of grew an obsession trying to figure out like what the fuck is going on at Montauk.
Mike, next time you're home, we're taking a road trip.
100%. I'm totally down.
Done.
I'm watching an interview with Preston Nichols and he has no shoes on.
Wait, which interview is that? There's some where it's super like grainy, where it looks like it was recorded off like a Betamax or something. And then, yeah.
Hang on. I'll pull it up on our. Wait, look at that. He's got no fucking shoes on. He's being interviewed.
That was it. That's what I forgot to mention. His fucking fupa that he has. Look at his body. Why does his body. Look how it's shaped and how he's moving.
I mean, on a seriously depressing note, that is a man who's been.
It looks like something. It looks like something is in his body, like controlling his head, just going. Like, he looks like a fucking puppet.
He's just got no fucking.
It's such unnatural moves.
Did they ruin that man's? They ruined that man.
Look how big he is compared to her.
Fucking Nick Pickle. Yeah. Dude. Was Mr. Pick a MK Ultra victim?
For sure.
I'm leaning for that. Valentine's Day, taking a rose, put the flower part off, and putting a grape on top and walking around and handing it to people. For sure.
You
for
see sure. Every time I'd be in study hall, Mr. Pick used to constantly like fucking annoy Kevin and just for some reason kept telling him that he had
probably not use full government names.
Well, it's nothing bad, but anywho, he kept trying to tell him or remind him about his collection of pencils that had the logo of the band Badfinger on it.
He was obsessed with Badfinger.
I know.
That's for sure.
Piccolo was?
Dude, obsessed.
Yeah, Mr. Pick was biggest Badfinger fan ever.
That's so weird.
But it was only just like, hey, it was fucking daily. And it was always like a different person every time. But you just be like,
you'd be sitting there doing your work and he would just come up and say that to you.
Did you know that Badfinger had two members kill themselves? No.
What? What are you talking about? All right. Well, it was good talking to you.
You were just doing it to a different kid every day.
Do you know that Badfinger wrote 3 songs in one day in the year 1982? No, I had no idea. All right, well, it was good talking to you. Bye. Like,
that's insane. Well, guys, that was fun. That was fun. I'm fucking exhausted. That, dude, I honestly like left myself like sleepy.
You're gonna have dreams about fucking Preston Nichols.
Yeah, no, but I don't know how you guys, like, now I'm like looking at this and thinking about this. I can't believe you guys were pulled away from your families for hours on end to read about this fucking guy.
Dude, I've been having nonstop dreams about this fucking thing for the last 3 days. That's why I was saying earlier when I was talking to you and Joe that, like, the only thing I'm waking up with is shame in the morning because fucking Preston Nichols fucking roaming around in there. He's not jerking me off, but I mean, still, just his appearance is rather frightening.
I mean, there's a very real terrifying part to all of this. The rest is goofy and lighthearted, but there's a real...
He also tries to make it out like he's the hero of this all, when all he's really doing is just jacking off a bunch of poor, innocent people.
Yeah. We just saw him. He's fucking shaking. He's a mess. Fucking mess.
All right, guys. Well, check if you guys have any ideas or suggestions you want, you could head on over to alldocumentedalltrue.com.
Thank you to those that have already.
We've been reading them and they are awesome. And
you guys have been getting them and shit?
There are some that are really good, and we do have some of those already on the list, so we like where your ideas are at.
That's so sick. Oh, I'm so glad. I never
There's about like 8 or 9 of them.
Cool. That's awesome. So, yeah, keep sending those in. And if you have any other personal experiences, and if you were ever jerked off by Preston Nichols, you can use that. Use it anonymously. And we
were in Montauk around the time it was going on in the early 80s.
Yeah, or that. preferably if you've been jerked off, though. And that's it. Mike, where can they find you?
Mike Amato 230 on Instagram, I think.
Just the whole fucking name.
I know. Now I'm giving out my full.
No, you did that one on purpose. You did that one on purpose. You did that one on purpose. Joe, where can they find you?
At Boogdish 1985.
If he didn't, that's fucking ridiculous. And that's it, everyone. That's all the time we have for this week on All Documented, All True. Thank you all for joining us. Huge thanks to Mike and Joe, as always. And we'll see you in a couple of weeks for the next report on the unexplainable.
Thank you.
Adios.